Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We find ourselves in the very heart of the season of Epiphany. And as this season of Epiphany continues, the Epiphanies continue. These manifestations of Jesus as the Son of God continue throughout this season. And we see that specifically here in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew's Gospel. Now, this sermon reveals Jesus' identity as the Son of God because Jesus speaks with authority, and not perceived authority, not hoped for authority, but true authority, divine authority. For Jesus is authority. All authority comes from him. And so Jesus is not the new Moses ascending the mountaintop to receive the word of God. Jesus is God, the God to whom Moses first approached, the God that gave Moses the word. So Jesus is not the new Moses. He is God in the flesh, present to give his word to all who would hear it. And so the Son of God, in human nature, ascended the gradual slope of the mountain. His disciples and the crowds of people, they followed after him. Those who had witnessed his miracles down below and who had heard about him from others wanted to know more. And so when Jesus reached a sufficient height on the mountainside, he sat down. He opened his mouth and he taught his disciples. The surrounding rocks and slopes served to amplify his voice so that all could hear. And what he taught, what Jesus spoke, was unlike anything else these people had ever heard before. And how he taught was even more impressive. For Jesus did not speak like any of the teachers the crowds had heard in the past. He did not teach, hinting at the authority of someone who had come before. But rather, Jesus spoke as God himself, as the authority. He spoke the word of God, and he spoke it in all of its foolishness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, generations of people all throughout the world had learned the very opposite of this teaching. The way of the world had become one of cause and effect. If you worked hard, then you would succeed. Being wealthy, healthy, wise, and spiritual was truly desirable. If you had money, then you had power. If you had knowledge, then you had power. Others would respect you and they would listen to you. And gain enough money, power, knowledge, and spirituality for yourself, and you would become godlike. And surely, then, the kingdom of heaven would belong to such as these. But not so, says Jesus, turning this very thinking upon its head. For the Son of God is King, the only King. The reign of heaven is his. Wherever he is, there is the kingdom of God. And no one is worthy to be in his presence. No one is worthy to be his people. And those who understand that, those who accept that, they are blessed because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs, in his commentary on Matthew's gospel, offers that thought in a clear translation of this very familiar verse. The poor in spirit are blessed because the reign of heaven is theirs. Those who are sinners, who know that they are sinners, and who confess and repent of that sin, the reign of Jesus is theirs. And so they are blessed. Blessing always comes as a gift. It is never earned. The poor in spirit have nothing with which they can offer Christ, the King. Whatever they have has been given to them. And Christ so chooses to give them everything, all of his kingdom. And that kingdom is defined as Jesus' very own ministry. He reigns in his earthly ministry by revealing his divine authority over diseases, over deformities, over sin, over forces of nature, and especially over death. The Son of God's reign includes also his teaching about the kingdom, often in the form of parables. And those teachings reveal God's views of mankind in relationship to the Son. And through the Son, God forgives the sin of all mankind. By his suffering and his crucifixion, Jesus wins the release from sin for those who are condemned in it. In his perfect sacrifice upon the cross, life and salvation are secured for those who are dead and damned. This has only happened because of what Jesus has done. The Son of God took on the form of a servant, became one truly poor in spirit, as he became sin itself. His sinless body became the sacrifice for all sin as he suffered the death of the cross. And that word of the cross, the word that says that Jesus' death on the cross, that moment in history that all thought Jesus had failed, the word that says all of that was part of God's plan of salvation, that word is folly to those who are perishing. The world, in all of its great wisdom throughout all of history, cannot understand God's foolishness. Where is the one who is wise? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This remains true today. Jews and Gentiles are any who are sinners and who hope in themselves. The word of Christ crucified is foolishness to them, as it is to our own sinful nature. But thanks be to God that we are called by him. That calling has come through baptism, and it continues to come through to us through the gospel and through the Lord's Supper. And because we are called by God, we see his foolishness as true wisdom, as such joyous wisdom. For God has chosen us to be his own. And because he has given us faith through the gospel, Christ crucified is sweeter than the sweetest chocolate. He has chosen each of us, as unimportant as we are in this world, to be his people. He has chosen us who are weak to shame the strong. And he has chosen us who are low and despised in the world and who are nothing because of sin to bring about things that are, to bring about forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And that foolishness of God continues on to this day. He continues to reveal himself to the poor in spirits, to us. He continues to preach the gospel to those burdened by the law. He continues to make nothings into somethings. Not so that we can boast in ourselves, but so that we can boast in the Lord. And so go ahead, in your daily lives, boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boast about all that he has done for you and for all people. You have God's permission to boast about Christ. And even more so, he gives you the means to do it, to boast about Christ as he strengthens you in word and in sacraments. The word of Christ crucified will always be foolishness to the world. But don't worry about that. And the Lord's Supper and our love for it will always be folly in the eyes of the world. And that's okay. Because in that foolishness, God brings about his salvation, the reign of heaven, and the very return of Christ our King, the Son of God, all of which you have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. And sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia. Amen. And now the peace that does come from Christ alone, guard and keep your hearts in him unto life everlasting. Amen.